Scholarly. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله أوله بلا أول كان قبله وآخره بلا آخر يكون بعد والذي قصرت عن رؤيته أبصار الناظرين وأجزت عن نأته أوهام الواصفين ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا حبيبنا وطبيب نفوسنا أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين بالقاسم محمد وعليه الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المظلومين سيما بقية الله العظم بقية الله خير لكم إن كنتم مؤمنين ولعنة الدائم على أعدائهم أجمعين من الآن إلى قيام يوم الدين أما بعد أعظم الله أجورنا وأجوركم والسلام عليكم جميعا ورحمة الله. Last night we compared the month of Ramadan with the month of Muharram. More than just a comparison, we said that we've been blessed with these 2 months through which we tend to realize our soul, through which we look back upon the mishaps or the mistakes that we have committed, and we seek forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and plan for our future development. It is indeed through the barakah of the month of Ramadan and the majalis of Abu Abdullah al-Husayn alayhi salam that we gain our strength and continue upon the path of Sirat al-Mustaqim. I left the decision in your hands on the basis of the hadith to really look at which of these 2 months are more valuable. Our 8th Imam, Imam Rada alayhi salam, mentions in the hadith in Biharul Anwar and also Salam that on the day of judgment, the land of Makkah would say that I am the most valuable. However, the voice will echo saying that hold on or quiet. The value of yours is like a needle in front of an ocean compared to the land of Karbala. No wonder our 4th Imam says that I am the son of Makkah and Mina, I am the son of Safa and Marwa. So therefore the value of Makkah remained because of Karbala. And the plains of Karbala are the stage, or is the stage, in which divine perfection is episode, in which one really recognizes the perfection, human perfection, what a true human being is, and at the same time one realizes how beautiful a human being could become and how worse a human being can become. It is in Karbala, and also in the month of Ramadan, it is the Masjid of Kufa, where one realizes that how perfect a human can become, and also how demonic, how inhuman a human can become, which is an indication of Ibn Muljim, obviously. So therefore, Karbala and the month of Ramadan really teaches us to become a true human being, to value human values, to value human freedom for the very fact which Abu Abdullah al-Husayn mentions in one of his letters, that one of his purpose of his qiyam is indeed for the protection of freedom, for the establishment of freedom. And he openly tells his enemies that at least be free, do not be slave of your desires. Tonight, as we mentioned last night, that the discussions that we'll be having will revolve around Tawheed, See, Tawheed, brothers and sisters, is one of the most important reality in our life. It is very unfortunate that a man reaches an age or leaves this dunya without having a sound understanding of his own creator. What he has done in all of his life. I mean, he didn't even know who is his creator is, how beautiful he is, how great he is. And Abu Abdullah al-Hussein and the Ashab of Imam Hussein have reached to that level where they realize that one of the greatest danger was the danger of Tawheed. And for this very purpose, they did Qiyam, they sacrificed their life. So Tawheed is a reality so abstract, so absolute, that we have forgotten to the extent that, for example, you know, many a times haven't we look for glasses, it's still on our, you know, we are wearing them, or we have the keys in our hand, still we search in our pocket. So it's so apparent, but still, unfortunately, we have a very little understanding of it. So what we'll try to do is that, first of all, try to realize what it is, and then how to achieve that. The first thing that we should look for, indeed, is, that's the reason that I have put on the points here, so that we can, discuss. If someone have missed it, if they come late, they can, for example, if they have missed the points, they can ask me later on. And at the same time, we'll be able to have an understanding of what we have covered so far. And later on, you know, if be so that, you know, if we type and, pass on, to our brothers and sisters, they can keep it. And then maybe they can recall the lectures if they just look at the bullet points, for instance. Inshallah. Salat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. So, where to look for and how to achieve it? The most important concept, or the most important reality, or the phenomena, is right with us, is in us, it's all around us. وَهُوَ مَاكُمْ أَيْنَمَا كُنْتُمْ, isn't it? In Surah Hadid, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that wherever you are, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is nearer to you than your own jugular vein. So, it is in front of us, it is with us, we live within it. So first is that we look in our own self. And when we look in our own self, the thing that is divine in ourself and that has been mentioned in the Quran is that very spirit of God. That He says in the Quran that وَنَفَخْتُ فِيهِ مِنْ رُوحِ, I have breath into Adam from my spirit. فِيهِ مِنْ رُوحِ, He says مِنْ. مِنْ means from. He didn't say I have breath into Adam my spirit, but he said I have breath into Adam from my spirit. So what we have with us is that ruh, that spirit is from God, is from the very spirit of God. Now the question that we would raise, that what is this ruh? When it says that it is from God, but at the same time we know that it is immaterial. Ruh is immaterial, spirit is immaterial. And when its creation is immaterial, where lies the question of dividing it, separating it, measuring it, because it's immaterial. So this means that it cannot be separated from God. The spirit cannot be separated. How matter could be. So the spirit that we have is that very spirit of God. All of us have that very spirit. It is that great being, reality, with all of us. And no wonder we find the Masumeen alayhi salam pointing out to this reality that we have to respect each other. No matter what creed, clan, religion we belong to. Because the spirit that resides in us is that very spirit of God. So if I don't respect anybody, that means that indirectly I'm not respecting the spirit that is residing in it. So principally speaking, the respect of each and every individual is something essential. That is why, if you remember, I had mentioned about 2 years ago the hadith of the fourth Imam, that do not disregard a human being because saints are hidden within human beings. So everyone, any person could be, for example. Or do not disregard any dua because the acceptance of dua is in a dua. Because we tend to look for long duas. You know, Mawlana Sahib give us a long dua. If you give a 2-line dua, you say, no, you know, long dua, Mawlana Sahib, this is very little. The importance of dua is not it being long or small. Dua means acceptance of it is in dua. So we have to respect all dua. And the third is where he says that do not regard any sin as little, because the azab of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is hidden in the sin. So a person says, oh, it's just a gossip. However, gossip, backbiting is one of the greater sins. It's considered to be gunai akbar. You know, it's in that list. It's not a small sin. Well, Quran clearly points out in Surah Hujarat. You know, Surah Hujarat, you know, I'll just mention that in the margin, is one of the most important surahs in relation to Islamic ethics. All of Islamic ethics is in Surah Hujarat. Anyways, so the azab of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is within a guna. We don't know which guna, it is in it. It's hidden in it. So respecting every human being is something essential. Whether that be in respect of a saint, of a waliullah, or whether that be respect of that spirit that resides in man's body. Now, when we look at the Quran, we find that ruh have been associated with the quality of Quds and Taharat. وَأَيَّدْنَاهُ بِرُوحِ الْقُدُسِ In relation to Hazrat Isa alayhi salam, we have provided or we have helped the Prophet Isa alayhi salam with a spirit which is Qudus, which is pure, which is sublime, which is angelic. So the angelic Quds is the quality of the spirit, or the Tahara is the quality of the spirit. That Ruh is something that is Quds, Ruh is something that is sublime, Ruh is something that is pure. That's the quality of the Ruh. Or for example, in Surah Mujadila, we tend to find that Ruh, we help the Mumineen and Mu'minat with our spirit. Wa ruh min. You know, the ayah goes, Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. Ulaika kitabun fi qulubihim al-iman wa ayyadhum bi ruh min. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have provided them with the book, and they have iman in their heart, and they are helped with my spirit. So there are different qualities of the spirit being mentioned, and in different places the word of spirit being used in the Quran. But at the same time, we find in relation to spirit, وَيَسْأَلُنَكَ عَنِ الرُّوحِ, they ask you, O Prophet, in relation, what is spirit? What is ruh? Because it was something very unique to the Prophet. قُلْ الرُّوحُ مِنْ أَمْرِ رَبِّي. Tell Prophet to them that spirit is from the command, from the realm of the command, or is from the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from the Rabb. وَمَا أُوتِيتُم مِنْ إِلْمٍ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. And what we have given in relation to the knowledge to you is very little. So it is very difficult for insan to really comprehend what is spirit. So Allah says that it is from the Amr, from the realm of the Amr, from the command of the Lord. And what we have provided you in relation to knowledge is very little to understand what is spirit. So this is not in relation to the Prophet. Tell to them, O Prophet. However, Prophet is ilm-e kamil. Prophet have that understanding. But in relation to his nation, he's saying that tell them, inform them. But this doesn't mean that the doors of knowledge to understand spirit is closed. So it's from the Amr of Lord. So, you know, just don't discuss. Just close the door. You don't have to, you know, look into it. But at the same time, Quran tend to provide different qualities of the spirit. There are discussions in relation to the spirit. For example, our sixth Imam, Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq alayhi salam, mentions that in relation to the spirit, he says that you think that spirit resides within you. It is impossible that an immaterial thing could reside in a material thing. It is not possible at all. How can it be possible? A spirit of one insan is much, much greater and higher than all of the material creation of the Lord, all of the galaxies together. When you compare the different material galaxies, cosmos, and millions of stars to our Earth, which is material, have no existence. Matter compared to matter have no existence. We are talking about something that is greater than matter. So the spirit of insan is much, much greater than this material creation, which resides outside. So the sixth Imam was pointing out to, in order to explain the relationship of spirit with the body, he says it's like sun and its rays. And insan, how the rays of the sun is outside the insan, when it doesn't go inside of insan, but it's outside. And it's everywhere. It encompasses a large area, a large magnitude. Everywhere are the rays of the sun. So that's how spirit is. It resides completely outside. It's completely on a different plane. It's not on the plane of the matter at all. It is outside this material creation. But it is connected, how the rays are connected to insan. But it's connected here, to that outside realm. Now, obviously there are darajat in spirits. If the spirit is greater, have more of a divine quality in it, so its level, it encompasses is more. Its darajat is greater. As they say that, you know, Masumin alayhim salam, their spirit is the highest, is the greatest. So whatsoever enter in this material realm goes through the qalb of Imam. So because their spirit is higher, is greater, So whatsoever ascends and descends from the heaven, it goes through the spirit of the Imam, goes through the heart of the Imam. So they are darajat of the spirit as well. But it is connected to our body here. But when an insan dies, that just disconnects. And it remains in that realm or on that daraja that it has reached. And it develops and expands, you know, because the chain of perfection or the journey of perfection never ends when a person dies. It just continues. Salat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. إنما أمره إذا أراد شيئا أن يقول له كن فيكون قل من يسألونك على النقل أرو من أمر ربي. Just now we recite Surah Yasin. The last part of Surah Yasin, it says that إنما أمره إذا أراد شيئا يقول له كن فيكون. Now in relation to Amr, because Ru is from the realm of the Amr, so we need to know what is Amr, what is the realm, what is the command, commandic realm, if you want to call. That realm, that place, or that reality is where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, be and it becomes. Allah intends something and it happens. So spirit is from that level, or it's from that realm. The substance of the spirit is from that. It's not a material process. You know, how things are made on different levels in the material realm, 1, 2, 3. And then finally, you know, you make the final assembly, for example, for a car. You know, you make the body, you build the tires, and one after the other, and finally it becomes a car. Once you finish it, stages. But ruh is not like that. It's from the command realm. And what is the command realm? The command realm is kun fayakun. You know, it's like, I tell you horse, it's right when you say horse, it's just there in your mind. It just happens. You know, just to understand what is that realm, kun fayakun. I mean, creation of things, the zahiri creation for God, is like our thinking. You know, can you imagine a man with 10 heads? Yes, we can. Can't we? We can imagine that. So basically, the way we can imagine it, just it stays in our imagination, the same way God creates. He just, kun fayakun, and it happens. But this imagination of ours is very absurd, is uncalculated. We imagine things because of what we have seen, different realities, we have learned something, we have understood something, and that on that basis we have some information and we imagine. And our imaginations are imperfect. But the realm of kun fayakun of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with wisdom, is with hikmat. It's not like random. Everything is well calculated, is very precise. That's how the mechanism is of God. So therefore what is the realm of Amr? The realm of Amr, the realm of command, is where basically there's no stages. It's kun fayakun, be and it happens. So ruh is from that. Ruh doesn't go through any type of different stages and then it becomes ruh. No. Ruh is that. So when وَنَفَخْتُ فِيهِ مِنْ رُوحِ, when Adam was made, for example, as the verse of the Qur'an, فَإِذَا سَوَّيْتَهُ وَنَفَخْتُ فِيهِ مِنْ رُوحِ, when, you know, he created the form of the Adam, and then after that, وَنَفَخْتُ فِيهِ مِنْ رُوحِ, the life that Adam got was that kun fayakun, is where after making that maddi form, if for a philosopher he would say that the cause of all causes is that ruh. You know, illat-i-tam, as they would say in that terminology. The,
the cause that completed Hazrat Adam alayhi salam was that ruh. وَنَفَخْتُ فِيهِ مِنْ رُوحِ. So therefore ruh is that. And ruh have been always associated with angels all the time. You know, it's like, for example, when you read the ayahs of the Quran in relation to salat, right after salat you have zakat. You know, أَقِيمُنَا الصَّلَاةِ وَيُوتُونَ الزَّكَاةِ. You know, always, you know, establish prayer, gives them. You know, it's all the time. And if you pay attention to the verses of the Quran, you would find that ruh have the similar kind of relationship with angels. تَنَزَّلُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ وَالْرُوحُ Surah Qadr. Don't we recite that? That malaika and the ruh, that and they descend on the day of, on the night of Qadr. Or for example, تعرج الملائكة والروح إلي أروج. The أروج of the ascension of the ملائكة and the روح on the day of judgment towards God. Or in another verse you recite يوم يقوم الروح والملائكة صفا. The angels and the روح will stand in front of the Lord in صف. In ranks. So the relationship of angels and malaika are always together. Are they two different things? Or the ruh that insan have is something different from the ruh that is mentioned, that tanazzalul malaika to war ruh? Or as the essence of insan, of ours, is that very ruh, is that very spirit, the essence of malaika is that very spirit? Dar haqiqat, that's an answer. The essence of malaika is also spirit, is ruh. But the spirit which resides or which is with angels is more subtle or is more fine compared to the spirit that we have. For example, a light. If it goes through a glass which is clear, then after which it goes through a glass which have, you know, which is dirty or which have like dark colors, and after which the intensity of light reduces, but it's that same very light, there isn't any difference in the light. So the intensity of the spirit which resides within malaika or which is with malaika is much, much stronger and greater, because they are closer to that spirit, to that essence of God, compared to that the spirit that insan have. So therefore, it's one thing, and that one thing is that very spirit of God, that is ruh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Salat ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Obviously, there's enormous amount of discussion in relation to angels themselves, what type of reality they have, what type of existence they have, what duties they have. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala clearly mentions them in the Quran, and as a reference, there's a very beautiful article in the book called Islamic Spirituality. It's a 3-volume book edited by Sayyid Hussain Nasr. Toshiko Murata, she wrote this article on angels. A very good article. If you can find it, I think obviously some of the regular library or the university library, definitely they have this book. The book is called Islamic Spirituality. They have different beautiful articles in it as well. But this article is on angels and the creation of angels, and the haqiqat of angels, and different types of angels being mentioned in the Quran. There are about 14 different kinds and different names of angels. I mean, it's so unfortunate that we believe in these realities, but when it comes to what they are, what type of substance they have, you know, we don't have enough knowledge. You know, we tend not to read these things. I mean, it's like maybe 3-4 page article, And at the same time, we tend to read, you know, like 600 pages of Golden Compass, like all the recently the fourth book, I think, they came out of the Golden Compass, or the Harry Potter, for instance. So we know these things quite well compared to the realities that we are faced with day in and day out, and they are really unique and mysterious. And mysterious not in the Harry Pottery sense, that it doesn't exist, but in the real sense, that they do exist. You know, so therefore, the haqiqat of angels and the malaika is the haqiqat of malaika and the ruh is that the essence of malaika is also that very spirit. Now, the question is that if we have that spirit of God, why don't we see the greatness of it in insan, in human beings? But we have seen that, for example, in the plain of Karbala. Those individuals, the ashab of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, they have brought that spirit out, or they have cleaned their mirror so much that spirit of God really shined into its perfect sense. And because of that, you know, they remained even today. Their zikr will remain even today. So how come that we tend not to see that reality, that haqiqat of spirit in us? See, if we look at ourselves, we do tend to realize that spirit in us. For example, the realization of good, the realization of lying is bad, the realization of oppression is bad, zulm is bad, the realization of doing good, charity is good, the realization of respecting each other is good, the realization of sharing is good. The realization of if I have given an oath, if I have paid an allegiance, and I stand by my word, no matter what happens. For example, Hazrat Muslim ibn Aqil, even he had two little sons, still in Kufa, but still didn't really care for it. That is the spirit. That is the haqiqat of that spirit. So that have to come out in us. And that comes out through a journey, through a process, for which the Prophet says, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابَ بِالْحِكْمَةِ. Prophet been sent to mankind so that they purify them, tazkiya, purification, so that they teach them. Purification have the aspect of that realization without being taught, which is the spirit, because there's a type of knowledge that is in us, which they call ilme husuli, you know, philosophically speaking, knowledge by presence, or wa yu'allimuhum al-kitab, or even teach them. But at the end of it, you know, the acquired knowledge, the knowledge that one really studies, he would even understand that knowledge that he has learned, the terminologies and what not, through ilme huzuri. For example, he might study philosophy in relation to understand, for example, the existence of God. But eventually, after learning that, after, you know, being taught that knowledge, he will come to a point that what he has been taught is understood by his presence. For example, Mullah Hadi Sabzawari, one of the greatest philosopher, actually a reviver of philosophy, of Islamic philosophy, which is particularly the Sadrian thought, the philosophy of Mullah Sadra of the 18th century. The very first poetry, the very first bait, because previously they used to write books of fiqh and books of philosophy are also in poetry form, and then they would give a commentary of that poetry, you know, the sharh of that poetry. You know, when he introduces wujud, when he introduces existence, he says that, you know, there is no need, it is impossible to really define existence, because a thing that is so apparent cannot be defined. A thing that is limited can be defined, because when we define something, we are limiting that thing. But existence and God is infinite. It cannot be limited. God is not limited. How can you define that? So the existence of God, the existence is so apparent, is infinite, that it cannot be defined. So that's how he begins the philosophical text. To cut the long story short, so وَيُزَكِّهِمْ وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةِ. So purification of the self, for which all of the Anbiya and the Prophet been sent, so that man realizes that what potentials he has, and he attained that level. He attained that level of Tawheed, understanding of Tawheed, through purification and through teaching. You know, these are the two things which is very much needed. So it's a complete journey of understanding, and at the same time, practical journey. And, you know, if you pay attention to, وَهُوَ مَاكُمْ أَيْنَمَا كُنْتُمْ, right? That's what we said. You know, wherever you are, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with you. The haqiqat of shariat itself, shariat that we day-to-day practice, that we do, things that we do, is also help us understand that the presence of God everywhere. You know, previously in olden days, if you look in the culture of Islam, when the shopkeeper used to sell something, you know, he would say Bismillah, and when the person used to buy, he would say Qabiltu. He would accept that. So there was a proper, that's discussed within fiqh. Like they call it, there's a chapter called bay, you know, transactions, different types of transactions, and how the transactions are broken, and the conditions of it, and what are halal transaction, non-halal transaction, how a transaction is halal. For example, you know, if a person who is selling is not baligh, an elderly person will never buy it from him. You know, so the transaction is not complete. So shariat brings the presence of God, brings that tawheed into a day-to-day life, so that we be reminded of God and come to that reality. Not only that, you know, I will end after mentioning this point, and then inshallah we'll continue on this. Not only that, the relationships that we have with each other, there is a reality to these relationships. For example, me and my boss at work. However, it is relative. He's my boss, not yours. But that there's a relationship. That relationship is relative, which is that I am the worker and he's my boss. So that relationship of boss, he's considered as boss, that maqam. Where does it come from? Where is its root? Is it just, you know, came to existence like that? The reality of this relationship sits in that very reality of the creator and the creation. That's where it has been extracted from. Not only that, in every relationship, you have that divine presence that we are unaware of. But when saint, when a person who have that vision of Tawheed, when he deals with these relationships, he realizes that, because he has been وَيُزَكِّهِمْ وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابِ. because he has purified himself. That is why when he gives to a beggar, like fourth imam, he would kiss the hand of his first, and then he will put the money, and then he will kiss his hand again. They asked him, why do you do that, O imam? He says, whatever I give, it goes in the hands of God. So how can I not kiss the hand of God before giving? He knows that. That's his vision. His life is Tawheed. Everything that he sees nothing but Tawheed. Isn't that the Quran? أَيْنَمَا تُوَلُّ فَسَمَّ وَجْهُ اللَّهِ Wherever you turn, there is a face of God. That is why Amirul Mu'mineen have said that before everything, after everything, with everything, I have seen God. That means he has seen nothing but God. So therefore the presence of Tawheed is all around us and with us. And we have to realize that. And that comes with practice. Every action that we are doing, trying to calculate our relationship with each other and what form and what type of relationship is this. And respect of that. Respecting each other as well, like we said earlier, is that. So the Ashab of Imam Hussein and Imam Hussein alayhi salam, they have come to that understanding, to that they have realized Tawheed. That is why the fifth Imam mentions in relation to the Ashab of Imam Hussein that when the sword used to cut them, they feel no pain because they are completely annihilated in Tawheed. Even that pain that they are seeing is from God. مَا رَأَيْتُ إِلَّا جَمِيلًا That's what it means. I have not seen nothing but beauty. Hazrat Zainab salamu alayha saying that I have seen nothing but beauty on the plain of Karbala is that. So that is the vision of Hussein and the Ashab of Hussein and the Awliya. The vision of Tawheed. And it requires that we attain that, we achieve that. If we don't, at least have a glimpse of it. If you don't, then life is quite similar to all, you know, even those who are unaware of these realities of ma'arif of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. They also provide, you know, they do some rituals, they go to church, they fulfill their obligation, responsibilities, and they live, and you know, alhamdulillah, they die, and Allah is the final judge. Allah judges them. But we've been provided with the knowledge, with Kausar, that perpetual fountain. We've been blessed with that. And every month we are reminded of it through the sacrifices of Abu Abdullah al-Hussein alayhi salam, through the sacrifice of Ashab of Hussein. So we have to really benefit. We have to achieve that. We have to taste that. Unless we taste it, unless we feel it, it's nothing but stories. You know, it's every, as there are books, as we read, and it's, we are entertained by it. And Imam Hussein alayhi salam also required that inspiration from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from the Prophet, to really go on this journey. To achieve Tawheed, to be inspired, to annihilate himself. And we also have to seek help from these divine souls, from awliya, from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because it is really through his help. Imam was on the 27th of Rajab, spent all his night in prayers in Masjid al-Nabawi and was perplexed that Walid have asked that he should give bayah, but Imam doesn't want to give bayah, doesn't want to pay allegiance to Yazid. Imam Hussein is fully aware that he is going to be slain in Karbala. There's no doubt about it. He has already mentioned many times. He's been brought up with that understanding right from the very beginning and before birth. I mean, But it requires that inspiration from the divine. Even awliya requires that inspiration. 27th of Rajab is also the night of Mabas, the night which Prophet was nominated for that mission. And from the Mabas of the Prophet, from the nomination of the Prophet to declare coming of Jibreel to people, to the journey of Abu Abdullah al-Hussein to Karbala, there's a relationship. He spent in Ibadat, as we all do on the 27th. The night, as we recite in that 20th dua of 27th night, Allahumma inni asaluka bitajalli al-azam. O Allah, we seek you through that tajalli azam, through that theophany, through that manifestation, the greatest manifestation of yours on the 27th night. What was that greatest manifestation of yours on the 27th night? It was the inspiration, it was the beginning of the Quran. That was the greatest, tajalli azam. We ask on that night, the Quran. So the Prophet was nominated, was asked to declare, Jibreel came. The same way Imam Hussein sees the Prophet in the dream, that, oh Hussein, do you see that daraja? He points out to a high station in Jannah, full of light. Hussein, it is not attainable until you go to Karbala and sacrifice yourself. It is through that. Oh Hussein, it is time that you come and join me. And after this, Imam Hussein parts farewell to the grave of the Prophet like a small child. He cries. There's a special attachment. I mean, when we go to the graves of our loved ones, we are so much attached to it. Fine, our loved ones. But when we go to the grave of the Prophet and Masumeen, how many times we turn our face back and wants to have that sight in our eyesight before we leave? We are not related to the Imams, you know, in terms of our genealogy, in terms of being a family member. Maybe some of the Sadat are, but we are talking about the grandson of the Prophet. The relationship of the Prophet and Hussein is deep. Hussein, minni wa ana min Hussein. It's not a joke. And Hussein wants to leave the grave of the Prophet. He parts farewell from the grave of the Prophet. And then he goes to the grave of the mother, the beloved mother of Hussein. That beloved mother, when she was shrouded, Hussein wasn't going near her. And Hussein says, I'm not going to go till my mother calls. And Amir will say, Wallah, the shroud opened. And the mother raised her hand and said, oh Hussein, come to me. And Hussein goes to the mother. Now Hussein is parting farewell from the grave of Bibi Fatima. He cries and he says that, oh mother, be with me. Be my strength. And mother was always with Hussein after that, continuously. Till the day where Shimr says, when Shimr have that manifestation, when Shimr have that vision, that mukashifa, even yes, Shimr also have mukashifas. Not only awliya have mukashifa, unveiling of realities and the truth, which we'll discuss later. Shimr, when he has that mukashifa, he says that, I'm going to slaughter sister and brother together. And the voice echoes that, oh Shimr, you're blind. This is not Zainab, this is Fatima here, trying to protect Hussein. So the mother was there till the last minute. When Hussein was on the ground, in bloodbath, for 4 hours, riwayat of Abi Makhnaf, and he was whispering something, he had some life. Nobody dared near Hussein to kill Hussein. They said, look what Hussein is saying. They came close to Hussein, and Hussein is saying, "Oh, my mother, this is the time that you come for help." Hussein was calling, "Ya Zahra," Hussein was calling his mother. So Hussein parts farewell from the grave of Bibi Fatima, and he goes home, and he asks the family members to get ready, and we have to leave by night. And there was Marcia and Matam in the house. The time has come. The caravan was prepared. Zainab was brought into the was taken onto the camels, but there were people who were taking care of the hijab. And then finally the caravan leaves. And tomorrow is the day that they enter Karbala, the plain of Karbala, the ground on which they will be shaheed. Allah la'natullah ala qawmul zalimeen sayalamun ladina zalamu ayyin qalibin yanqalibun. Ya Allah, bihaqq Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad, bihaqq al-Imam Hussein alayhi salam, forgive all of our sins. And the sins of our marhumeen. Make them special guests of Abu Abdullah al-Hussein alayhi salam. Ya Allah, our dua to you, bihaqq al-Hussein, is that before we die, make sure that we do the ziyarat of Abu Abdullah al-Hussein, the grave of Imam Hussein alayhi salam in Karbala. And we achieve the shafaat of Hussein in the Akhirah. Ya Allah, bihaqq Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad, give shifa'i kamil to jumla mu'mineen and mu'minat, especially those who have requested us for prayers. Ya Allah, bihaqq Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad, make this Ashura, the majalis of Abu Abdullah al-Hussein alayhi salam, safe and sound for all of our Shia brothers and mu'mineen and mu'minat who are commemorating the Azadari, especially in the Atabat, the shrines in Iraq, and also in Pakistan and different places. Ya Allah, protect the life, honor, dignity of all Muslims, particularly of Shia and of Amirul Mu'mineen, no matter where they live in this world. Ya Allah, protect the life and increase the life of our Marajah Nizam so that they provide to create the groundwork for the return of our 12th Imam. Ya Allah, return, haste the zuhur of our 12th Imam and include all of us and our friends and family members as his faithful companions and servants, Matam-e Hussein.